One book written not too long ago was called Crazy Love. In the book, the author talks about and asks the question about being lukewarm. I don't know if you're like me, but lukewarm coffee, I can't handle. Lukewarm iced tea, I don't care for that either. Coffee hot, iced tea cold. Lukewarm, not good. How would you describe yourself as a follower of Christ? How about dedicated? Or how about committed? Or zealous? Passionate? If not those words, what about lukewarm? Or mediocre? Or half-hearted? Would that better describe us? So what does it mean to be a lukewarm Christian? What does it mean to be a lukewarm follower? And what does that look like? What does it look like in our lives? Whether it's in worship, whether it's in our daily lives, home life, whatever. What does being lukewarm look like? The first thing is that lukewarm people do attend church services somewhat regularly. And I emphasize somewhat. The reason, though, is not because they want to assemble with those of like precious faith and worship Jehovah God. It's not because they love assembling to pray and sing. It's not because they love to be with other Christians. It's because it's just a tradition with them. It's just something they think people expect them to do, so they just come anyway. And that's why they had to do it. Oh, that's why they think they do. That's why lukewarm people attend services. Not regularly, but when they come, that's why they come. Jesus had some things to say about people like that. In Matthew 15, he addresses a group of people that had some problems. He says, beginning in verse 7, hypocrites, well did Isaiah prophesy about you, saying, these people draw near to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. And in vain they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men. Of course, he'd been talking about the Pharisees and them keeping traditions. And that's why they did those things, was just out of their traditions. Just expectations, not because they loved God necessarily, or loved His Word, or loved the law. And so some people today, lukewarm followers, attend somewhat regularly just because they think that's expected. Not for the right reasons. Lukewarm people do give some in the offering, but it's very little. They give some as long as it doesn't decrease their standard of living or it doesn't keep them from buying things they want. In other words, they give as long as it doesn't cost. Back in 1 Chronicles chapter 21, we have an account of David. 1 Chronicles chapter 1, and it's a great commentary on how God's people need to view giving. In 1 Chronicles chapter 21, right after Ornan had said that David could have all of these things, he says, let me just give you these things. Let me give you these, the oxen for offerings and implements and wheat and so forth. Let me just give them to you. And David replies in verse 24, then King David said to Ornan, no, but I will surely buy it for the full price, for I will not take what is yours for the Lord, nor offer burnt offerings with that which cost me nothing. Oh, there is a great commentary on giving. See, lukewarm people give the least they can get by with, the very, very least, they think. David says, I'm not going to take something free and then give that as the offering. He says, I want it to cost me something. He says, that's the right attitude. I want it to cost me something. And that's the way it should be. When people in the Old Testament made those sacrifices of bulls or sheep or whatever, it cost them something. Well, we go to an account in the New Testament, a similar one, Luke chapter 21. Beginning in verse 1, Jesus is there at the treasury in the temple. And notice what he sees and his comment on it. Luke 21, beginning in verse 1. And he looked up, referring to Jesus, and saw the rich putting their gifts into the treasury. And he saw also a certain poor woman, a poor widow, putting in two mites. So he said, truly I say to you that this poor widow has put in more than all. For all these out of their abundance have put in offerings for God, but she out of her poverty put in all the livelihood that she had. See, all those rich people, what they were putting in a lot, but it didn't cost them anything. In other words, they weren't going to miss it. Whereas the poor widow, what she put in was a tiny little bit, two small little copper coins that wasn't worth very much. But it cost her something. See, lukewarm people just give the littlest imaginable amount, something that they don't miss at all. But that's not the way passionate Christians give. Lukewarm. Lukewarm people, lukewarm followers, choose what's popular over what's right. They're more concerned about what people think than about what God thinks. In Luke chapter 6, staying in that same gospel account, in Luke chapter 6, verse 26, Jesus says, woe to you when all men speak well of you, for so did their fathers to the false prophets. Woe to you when all men speak well of you. That's not the way followers of Christ. There are going to be people who do not speak well of you because of you following Christ. They're not going to speak well of you. In Revelation chapter 3, you'll recognize this when I know in verse 1. Revelation chapter 3, Jesus is talking to the church in Sardis, to the angel of the church in Sardis. Verse 1, it says, these things says he who has the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. I know your works, that you have a name, that you're alive, but you are dead. Says they were doing things that pleased people, but not God. God knew they were really dead. Outwardly they appeared alive, but they weren't. They were dead. How easy it is for people or churches to appear to be alive, but God sees right into their heart and realizes they're not. They're just as spiritually dead as can be. See, lukewarm people are spiritually dead, and they're spiritually dead. One reason they're spiritually dead is because they choose what's popular instead of what's right. They're more concerned about what people think than what God thinks. That's being lukewarm. In Matthew chapter 23, when Jesus is giving a rather scathing account to the Pharisees, in Matthew 23, beginning in verse 5, he says the Pharisees have this problem also. In Matthew 23, verse 5, Jesus says, but all their works they do to be seen by men. They make their phylacteries broad and enlarge the borders of their garments. They love the best places at feasts, the best seats in the synagogues, greetings in the marketplaces, and to be called by men, Rabbi, Rabbi. See, they wanted to please men, not God. That's being lukewarm. That's not a follower. That's not passion. That's not zeal. That's not commitment. That's not dedication. That's mediocrity. Lukewarm people rarely try to teach someone the gospel in any way. They seldom do anything to try and teach a friend or a neighbor or a family member or a co-worker or anybody anywhere in the world. They don't want to tell people what they believe. They don't want to tell people why they believe it. They never ask anybody to come to church services. They'll never hand out pamphlets or tracts or a DVD. They never try and use any form, whether it's the internet or radio or TV or anything. They're just rarely concerned about teaching anyone the gospel. But when you look at the New Testament, people who were passionate and zealous were doing this all the time. When they heard the truth of the gospel, they would immediately do what? Go tell someone. They would go tell someone. See, that's being a follower. That's being passionate and zealous. But lukewarm followers, they are really not concerned about the lost, and they don't want to do anything about it in any way, shape, or form. Lukewarm people like to compare themselves to others. They like to compare themselves to others, and they choose the people they compare themselves to. So they gauge their goodness, what they think is good, they gauge their goodness by comparing themselves with people in the world. Well, you can always find people in the world that are living terrible lives, immoral lives, sinful lives. Well, I'm not like the guy that cheated people out of millions of dollars. Or I'm not like that guy that killed all those people in that bank. Or I'm not like that guy that did this. You can always find people that you believe you're better than. And lukewarm people make themselves feel good by finding those people and then comparing themselves to them. So that's how they can feel satisfied. That's how they can feel good about themselves, is by looking at all these people they think are worse. Well, I'm not as bad as so-and-so. Or I'm not as bad as so-and-so. Or I didn't do what this person did. Or I didn't do what that person did. So I must be pretty good. The problem with that is no one is good enough. Not about being good enough. In Luke chapter 18, we see this good enough and comparing and what Jesus says about it. Luke chapter 18, parable of the Pharisee and the tax collector. Verse 9, also he spoke, referring to Christ, this parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank you that I'm not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all that I possess. And the tax collector, standing afar off, would not so much as raise his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other one. For everyone who calls himself or exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. Here is an example of someone who is a half-hearted follower. He says, I am so glad I'm not like other men. I don't extort money from people. I'm fair with other people. I don't commit adultery. I don't do any of those things. I'm so much better than they are. Look at all the good things I do. I fast twice a week. And that was the custom of the first century for Jews. They fasted twice a week. I think it was Monday and Thursday. That was their days to fast. Even though that wasn't commanded in the law of Moses, that's when they did it. And so they would do what? They would make sure people knew they were fasting because they wanted to appear better than other people. So he says, look, I'm not bad like these other people. Actually, I'm pretty good. I give my tithe. Says, I tithe of everything I possess. I do all of these things. I'm just pretty good. So lukewarm people do that. Lukewarm people compare themselves to others to make themselves feel good about what they do. And of course, Jesus talks about how awful that is. Lukewarm people allow God to be only a part of their lives. Only a part of their lives. In other words, they'll give Jesus control over a little bit of their time. They'll give Jesus control over a little bit of their money. They'll give Jesus a little control of their emotions or a little bit, a part of their feelings. But only part. Only part. They will not give Jesus total control. In Luke chapter 9, beginning in verse 57, it says, now it happened as they journeyed on the road that someone said to him, Lord, I will follow you wherever you go. Jesus is with some of his followers. And one of them says, Lord, I'll follow you wherever you go. That's a pretty rash statement. And Jesus said to him, foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. Then he said to another, follow me. But he said, Lord, let me first go and bury my father. Jesus said to him, let the dead bury their own dead, but you go and preach the kingdom of God. And another also said, Lord, I'll follow you, but let me first go and bid them farewell who are at my house. But Jesus said to him, no one having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. These people were not committed. He says, yeah, I'll follow you, but. I'll follow you if. I'll follow you, I need to do this first. They weren't giving Jesus all of their lives. They were following him, but only to a certain extent. When Jesus calls people to be his disciples, he says, I want you to come and follow me daily. You need to take up your cross. You need to deny yourself. Jesus says, I don't want you partially. I either want all of you or I want none. I don't want 30% or 70% or 90%. I want all of you. Well, lukewarm people believe that this idea of being totally devoted and zealous and passionate is for missionaries or maybe preachers or Bible professors or so forth, but not for the average person. Not at all. Well, in Matthew chapter 22, we're told otherwise. In Matthew chapter 22, beginning in verse 37, a lawyer asked Jesus a question in verse 36, teacher, which is the great commandment in the law? Jesus said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment. This is for everybody. This isn't just for preachers or just for missionaries or just for that person or just for this person. It's for every follower. Every follower is to be dedicated. Every follower is to be committed. We're not to give Jesus part of our lives. He wants all of our lives. That's why he said you've got to deny yourself, take up your cross daily, and follow me. It is full time. You're to follow him when you're working. You're to follow him when you're at home. You're to follow him wherever you are. It's about following him, not being half-hearted and mediocre and lukewarm. And lastly, lukewarm people think more about earth and the things of the earth than they do about heaven and the things of heaven. Their thoughts are focused on the here and now, not about eternity. It's all about now, not about the next life. In Philippians chapter 3, Paul addressed this when he wrote to the church at Philippi. He tells them in verse 18, he says, "For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ." Now, why are they the enemies of the cross? Listen to this. "Whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly." See, it's about themselves. It's about this world. It's about satisfying themselves materially. "Whose glory is in their shame, who set their mind on earthly things." Set their mind on. That's what they focus on. That's what they think about. That's what drives them. That's what they're passionate about, are earthly things. He goes on and said, "For our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ." See, our citizenship, followers, our citizenship is heaven. Is in heaven. We gave up, in a sense, our citizenship on earth when we became Christians. And now we are focused on heaven, on earthly things. The things of the world, that's not what drives us. That's not what we're passionate and zealous and dedicated about. Paul also, when he wrote to the church at Colossae, said something similar in Colossians chapter 3. He says in verse 1, "If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth." There's the expression again, set your mind on. So when we talk about being lukewarm, lukewarm people, mediocre followers, half-hearted followers, set their mind on things of the earth. That's what drives them through the day. That's what they get excited about. That's what they're zealous about. That's what they're dedicated to doing. Things of the earth. But true, passionate, zealous followers set their mind on things above. Why? Because that's where Christ is. That's where the Father is. So why wouldn't we set our mind on things above? That's where our citizenship is. We're citizens of heaven. That's going to be our home. That's what we should be passionate about. So what sounds familiar? Passion, dedication, commitment, zeal, or lukewarmness, mediocrity, half-heartedness? Jesus told the church in Laodicea, who were half-hearted, mediocre, lukewarm, that this is what they had to do. Be zealous and repent. He said that it was that simple. Be zealous and repent. You need to turn away from things of the world. Don't let those things consume your life. You are a follower of Christ. Jesus doesn't want half-hearted followers. That's why throughout his ministry, when people followed him for the wrong reasons and ended up leaving, he let them go. He let them go. He did not try and go after a single one because he didn't want lukewarm followers. Regardless of how many he had, the ones he had, he wanted to be wholehearted and passionate and zealous. He didn't want lukewarmness to describe his followers. And they shouldn't today either. Just because we're not walking side by side physically with Christ doesn't mean that we shouldn't be wholehearted followers. We're to give our entire lives, heart, soul, and mind, to following him. And we always should. That should be our aim, our goal, our passion. To be wholehearted followers. We all need to pray about this. Pray being more passionate and zealous and dedicated. I know we all, including me for sure, can improve and be more dedicated and committed. Well, tonight as we sing our invitation song, it may be your desire to respond. And if it is, we want you to do that as we stand and sing. April.